Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the fallout from Amazon pulling out of New York.
Long Island City has cut off their nose to spite their face.
I was surprised, quite frankly, that they pulled out.
This is not the Valentine that New York needed.
Complete coverage of the move all morning on Bloomberg Radio.
Plus, stocks in Asia slide as trade talks wrap up in Beijing.
President Trump is set to sign a bill to avoid another government shutdown. However, he plans to declare a national emergency to fund a border wall. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the streak is finally over for Knicks fans, while pitchers and catchers report to spring training.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing. U.S. stock index futures are a little changed this morning. Coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up almost 2 points. Dow futures up 20. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 1%. FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 1.1%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents to $54.69 a barrel. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the fallout continues this morning from Amazon abandoning its planned headquarters in Long Island City. New York State Senator Michael Gianaris, a key opponent of Amazon's push into the city, tells Bloomberg it is the right decision for the state.
It's just a matter of standing up for New York and hopefully beginning a long overdue conversation nationally about whether these corporate incentive and subsidy programs are worth it.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio had pushed hard to bring Amazon to Queens. City Councilman Jimmy Van Bramer was among those concerned about the company's opposition to unions.
I was surprised, quite frankly, that they pulled out at this early juncture instead of actually dealing with some of the very real issues that we raised.
And just a day before canceling the new headquarters, Amazon was still talking to officials about salvaging the deal.
But apparently no plan came together, leading to the demise of the most prominent development deal in recent history. Gene Munster covers Amazon for Loop Ventures.
It does feel like Long Island City has cut off their nose to spite their face. This is just needless self-destruction. And I'm worried that there's going to be other shots at some of these tech companies in the future.
Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney represents the Queens District that includes Long Island City. She spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
This is not the Valentine that New York needed. I'm disappointed that New York City won't be the home to over 25,000 minimum new jobs and will also lose out on infrastructure improvements that would have accompanied this project.
Urban policy experts say there's plenty of blame to go around, including regional politicians who didn't properly consult local interests, officials who turned the debate into a national bully pulpit, and an economic development process that pits cities against each other to court large companies.
Now, all this is making for one big, undisputed winner in the bid for Amazon's East Coast headquarters, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet reports.
The winner, National Landing, Virginia, an area encompassing three suburban neighborhoods that was invented as a home for Amazon. Now it's been promoted to Amazon's sole planned East Coast hub. Christian Dorsey, chairman of the Arlington County Board, says the county plans to sign its agreement with Amazon in March, which calls for an estimated 25,000 jobs by the year 2030. He says if Amazon needs it, it can hit up to almost 38,000 after that. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We turn to news outside of Amazon now. Trade talks between the U.S. and China have been driving financial markets all week, and now those negotiations are wrapping up in Beijing. We get the latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was the first to sound a positive note. He tweeted productive meetings with China's Vice Premier Liu He and U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Lighthizer. It was the first indication Friday afternoon that some progress was made in this week's talks. Earlier, three U.S. and Chinese officials had told Bloomberg there was no visible progress on efforts to narrow the gap around structural reforms to China's economy. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And now Chinese President Xi Jinping says trade talks will continue next week in Washington. That's according to China's CCTV. Meanwhile, the Financial Times says the U.S. and China were scrambling today to produce a memorandum of understanding that would pave the way for a meeting between Presidents Xi and Trump, though there's no firm details on the completion of that memo.
Now, the earlier word of no progress in talks did weigh on stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Weak Chinese factory data added to the downbeat mood. The CSI 300 lower by 1.8%. Hong Kong and South Korean stocks were also hit hard. The Hang Seng posting its worst drop in a month, with most of the 50 companies listed on the index in the red. The KOSPI was down 1.3% in Seoul to 2,196 points. In Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 was down by 1.1% to close at 20,900 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In the UK, retail sales rose in January at the fastest pace in 6 months, excluding auto fuel. The volume of goods sold rose 1.2% from December. That beat estimates of just a 0.2% gain.
European auto sales declined for a fifth straight month in January. Passenger car registrations in the EU dropped 4.6% from last year, with sales declining in all of the largest markets, including Germany, France, and the UK.
Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 1%. The bank posted better-than-expected earnings for the fourth quarter and announced a special dividend. Still, RBS said the political and economic headwinds facing the UK remain a challenge.
Here in the U.S., shares of NVIDIA are up nearly 5% in early trading. The chipmaker's forecasting sales the top estimate, saying revenue will be flat this fiscal year. Analysts had expected a drop of about 7%.
And we're watching shares of PepsiCo this morning, down about 0.5% right now. Earnings just crossing the Bloomberg. It warned that earnings will decline this year as it invests more to boost its businesses, the day after a disappointing outlook from chief rival Coca-Cola. Right now, futures are higher. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 42, NASDAQ futures up 11, and the euro $1.1275. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump will sign a border security compromise that would avert a second painful government shutdown. However, President Trump says he plans to bypass lawmakers and declare a national emergency to siphon other federal coffers for his wall on the Mexican border. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the president says he plans to get a total of roughly $8 billion in federal money for the border wall.
Step one, Bloomberg sources are saying the president plans to unilaterally shift nearly $7 billion in federal funds to build the wall. Step two, this on top of the $1.3 billion of the bill passed by the House and Senate. The $7 billion from sources already approved by Congress for other purposes. Now, this could cause divisions in his own party, which worries about what any future president could do. For example, a Democratic president could take funds to fight climate change or immediately fund the new Green Deal. And footnote, this $8 billion is considerably more than the $5.7 billion for which he's been asking. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Reaction from lawmakers on the president's planned national emergency declaration? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I've indicated to him that I'm going to support the national emergency declaration.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It would be another demonstration of President Trump's naked contempt for the rule of law and congressional authority.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
The president making an end run around Congress. Here he said, let us respect what the committee will do, and then walks away from it.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he stands firmly behind President Trump's decision. Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is calling for a snap election. The election was called after the socialist spending plan failed. Sanchez said the vote would be held on April 28th. President Trump's company has scrapped its once ambitious plans to expand its hotel business. The Trump Organization blamed politics for the retrenchment. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 6:09 on Wall Street, and Rob Bushka is here with this morning's Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Good morning, Nathan. The longest single-season losing streak in Knicks history is just that, history.
Smith slings it out. Cornette, left wing three, buries it. Luke Cornette with his third three. Timeout, Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta.
Knicks Radio Network, it's been 18 long games since New York can call themselves winners. 106-91, they win in Atlanta, thanks to 19 points from Dennis Smith Jr. It's the 11th win of the year for the Knicks, tied for the fewest in the league with Phoenix. On the ice, the Islanders dominated in Columbus, blanking the Blue Jackets 3-0. Coach Barry Trotz.
There wasn't any passengers tonight. I thought everybody was, we had a little bit of a game plan that we wanted to follow. They did it, and we got, you know, some timely saves and a couple of timely goals and just stayed with it. And it was a team win.
Thomas Greiss had 31 saves. Isles remain atop the Metro, 3 points ahead of Washington. Devils were dumped 5-2 in Chicago. And it may not feel like spring, but pitchers and catchers have reported to Florida. The Mets' Jacob DeGrom is focused on the season amid trade speculation.
I wouldn't say I'm frustrated. I have a job to do, and that's to get ready to play baseball. And I try to block all that stuff out. That's kind of for my agents, and you know, that's what they're there for, to work these things out and to make it where I can just focus on getting ready for the season.
DeGrom won the Cy Young Award last year with his 1.70 ERA. And NBA commissioner Adam Silver's received interest from NFL owners about becoming their commissioner. Silver hasn't given it any thought just yet. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you for that. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll speak with the president of NASCAR, Steve Phelps. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. Plus, we've got a special President's Day show coming up on Monday. We'll talk to former NBA commissioner David Stern. You can catch it all right here on Bloomberg Radio. And don't forget, you can download the Bloomberg Business of Sports anytime as an Apple podcast. S&P futures up nearly 6 points now. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures ahead by 15 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. PepsiCo warning earnings will decline this year. Shares down 0.5% in early trading. S&P futures higher up 4 points. Dow futures up 38 and NASDAQ futures up 12. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.65%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 30 cents at $54.71 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump plans to call a national emergency to build his promised border wall. Last night, the House and Senate approved the bipartisan funding bill to avert a government shutdown. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez called for a snap election on April 28th. It comes after Parliament vetoed his budget and left his minority government unable to pass key legislation. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game losing streak, beating the Hawks. In the NHL, the Devils lost. The Islanders won, along with the Capitals. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Michael, thanks very much. It is coming up on 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now, back to our top story of the morning. Amazon abandoning its plans for a headquarters in Long Island City, Queens. It was the culmination of efforts from a freshman congresswoman and local politicians who harnessed fury over corporate welfare going to one of the world's largest companies. Let's get more on this development from New York's Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. She represents the district that would have welcomed Amazon into New York State. She spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli about Amazon's decision late yesterday.
Congresswoman, I know this issue is important to you. Your response to Amazon's decision?
Well, this is not the Valentine that New York needed. I'm disappointed that New York City won't be the home to over 25,000 minimum new jobs from Amazon, that Long Island City will lose those jobs and will also lose out on infrastructure improvements that would have accompanied this project in transit, new schools. They were making a major commitment to not only building a new school in Long Island City, but providing technology and teaching and help to improve New York schools in the way of technology. So in many ways, it was a really big loss. There were parts of the deal to be improved, and I agreed with the community on that. But I wanted to work with Amazon and the community to address their concerns. But now it looks like we've lost that opportunity.
Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, Democrat from New York. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo also reacting the way you have, saying that, quote unquote, a small group of politicians put their own narrow political interests above their community, and says that, quote, the New York State Senate has done tremendous damage. They should be held accountable for this lost economic opportunity. So how do you, Congresswoman, factor in that anti-corporate message? You see it from your colleagues, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What's your message to those progressives in your party who really spoke out against this?
Personally, I think that the mayor and the governor were heroes. Every city and state in the country was competing for this opportunity. And we were far from the largest incentive package. It was really the metro areas, the peoples, and really the trust in them. But the economic package, they estimated $27.5 billion in state and local tax revenue over the next 25 years. And that was according to local economic development agencies. And that would have put us on a firm economic footing, which is very important. The mayor and the governor have come out recently saying we're in tax shortfalls for our state and our city, and that's troubling. And I think the concern of many people, they believe that the cost of the incentives promised to Amazon for their Long Island City location was too generous, and they estimated that to be at $3 billion. But what was not clear is that you never got that $3 billion.
Yeah.
It was not a pile of money that was sitting there. It was a pile of money that they would have paid in state and local taxes from the people that they employed and the business itself.
Can you dive deeper into that? Because I think that right there truly was not clearly explained.
What I felt was very disingenuous is that a lot of politicians were saying, hey, this is how I'd spend that $3 billion. I'd build a school. I'd do this. I'd do that. There was no pot of money there. It was the economic activity from Amazon that created the money. And then what Amazon then got was a tax break. That's what they got, a tax break. They didn't get money. They got a tax break from the taxes they were already paying. Plus, Amazon was promising Long Island City a school and improving roughly 30 other schools in the city, not just Long Island City, but across the city in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Manhattan, where young people want to learn tech. What better way to learn tech than have mentors and people from Amazon help teach it?
Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, Democrat from New York, joining us on the line, reacting to the news that Amazon has pulled out of New York. Where do you go from here?
Well, I tried to call the governor and the mayor to get a reading on what are their negotiations and if they feel that we could go back and make it happen. But the statements they put out seem to show that they feel that the game is over. And they have a lost opportunity, an incredible lost opportunity that could have employed a major amount of people in our area and been massive improvements and would have solidified. We are the economic capital of our country, but it would have solidified that position, not only in finance, but then in tech.
And that was New York Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. She represents the district that includes Long Island City, which would have hosted Amazon's second headquarters. She discussed Amazon's decision to abandon those plans with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On, heard every weekday at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. How are the markets looking, Karen?
Well, we're watching earnings right now, Nathan, and we'll see how that's affecting the markets because we're hearing from Deere and Company. First quarter profit coming in at $1.54 a share. That missed analyst estimates, and it did reaffirm its outlook for the year. Right now, S&P futures, though, are still higher, up 3 points. Dow futures up 30, and NASDAQ futures up 7.5. And the 10-year Treasury has little change. The yield, 2.65%. The yield on the two-year, 2.49%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The fallout continues this morning from Amazon abandoning its planned headquarters in Long Island City. New York State Senator Michael Gianaris was a key opponent of the deal, criticizing $3 billion in government subsidies, plus the prospect of rising rents.
I don't think that was worth it, and I think the way Amazon reacted to it proved my point, that they were unwilling to deal with legitimate concerns that this community had.
Now, just a day before canceling the new headquarters, Amazon was still talking to officials about salvaging the deal. Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney represents the Queens District that includes Long Island City. She spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
It was a big loss. There were parts of the deal to be improved, and I agreed with the community on that. But I wanted to work with Amazon and the community to address their concerns. But now it looks like we've lost that opportunity.
The big winner in all of this, National Landing Virginia, which has now been promoted to Amazon's sole East Coast hub.
All right, let's turn to news outside of Amazon now. President Xi Jinping of China says trade talks with the U.S. will continue next week in Washington as the two sides race to reach a deal to avert a tariff increase on Chinese goods by March 1st.
Meanwhile, China's producer prices eked out a tiny gain last month. PPI rose 0.1% from a year earlier, adding to concern that deflation may be looming.
In the UK, retail sales rose in January at the fastest pace in 6 months. Excluding auto fuel, the volume of goods sold rose 1.2% from December, beating estimates for just a 0.2% gain.
With just 2 weeks to save her deal, Theresa May is preparing to compromise with the EU on the Irish border. Yesterday, Parliament threw out the Prime Minister's Brexit approach.
On the earnings front, shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 1%. The bank reported earnings above estimates.
Shares of NVIDIA are up 5%. The chipmaker predicted stronger fiscal 2020 sales than analysts estimated.
PepsiCo shares are down 0.5%. The beverage maker warns earnings will decline this year.
And Deere is out with first quarter results that missed analyst estimates. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 37. NASDAQ futures up about 12. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9% now. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.65%. Yield on the two-year, 2.49%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 30 cents to $54.71 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The White House confirms that President Donald Trump will sign a bill reached by the House and Senate last night to avert a potential partial government shutdown. The president also plans to declare a national emergency to secure additional funding for constructing a border wall. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has a warning for Republicans.
A Democratic president can do that. Democratic president can declare emergencies as well. So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay by the Republicans.
The president plans to shift money from other agencies to get a total of $8 billion for the border wall, an idea that Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz supports.
If we build a wall, it will help the people that are trying to secure our border, and it just may make some of the other challenges that we have with drug interdiction a lot easier to solve by creating a choke point that gives us an opportunity to stop drugs from coming in the country.
However, not all GOP lawmakers are behind the move. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
I continue to believe that this is not what the National Emergencies Act was intended to be used for. It was contemplated as a means for responding to a catastrophic event like an attack on our country or a major natural disaster.
The U.S. Supreme Court is on the brink of diving into a politically divisive clash over the 2020 census. The justices could agree as early as today to consider letting President Trump and his administration add a question about citizenship to the census. Democrats say it would reduce participation, particularly by Hispanic households. Spain's prime minister called for a snap election, pitching the country into a period of fresh political uncertainty after a parliament veto of his budget laid bare his minority government's inability to pass key legislation. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said today that the move will be held on April 28. He's seeking to renew his grasp on power and hold off the advances of three right-wing groups that could potentially form a governing alliance. Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro says his government has held a secret meeting in New York with the U.S. envoy to Venezuela, Elliot Abrams, about the political crisis in his country. In an interview with the Associated Press, Maduro predicts he will survive an unprecedented global campaign to force his resignation. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game losing streak, beating the Hawks. The league now heads into the All-Star break. In the NHL, the Devils lost. The Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:36 on Wall Street. Now let's get back to our top story of the morning. Amazon abandoning its plans for a headquarters in Long Island City, Queens. It is a decision that could impact real estate in the area in a big way. Let's get more on that from Paul Massey. He's the founder and CEO of B6 Real Estate Advisors, joining us on the line. Thanks for your time this morning, Paul. I don't imagine there's much lipstick to put on this decision by Amazon for the real estate sector.
Nathan, good morning. The I wouldn't call it over. I think unless they've made a definitive decision to go somewhere else, I think the administration, the state should get in a plane, go see the Amazon folks, and try and put this thing together.
Really? I mean, it sounds as though from the statements that we've heard, not only from Amazon, but from Mayor de Blasio, that it does look as though this deal is done. What gives you hope?
You know, I they haven't made a definitive choice to go somewhere else. There's always hope. A strong businessman knows that until it's over, it's not over. And I think this would be a fantastic thing for New York. I think the state, the city administration should get on a plane and try and put this thing back together.
All right. So what would your advice be to the de Blasio and the Cuomo administration to try to get back on Amazon's good side?
Look, if you assume that 70% of New Yorkers want this to happen for good reasons, I'd be listening really hard to dissenters, and I'd be explaining to them very carefully how this would benefit the city. I mean, just alone, a 4 million square foot tenant generates $80 million in taxes roughly a year. Capitalizing that over the next 15, 20 years, that alone, it covers the $3 billion of incentives. So I think there were so many benefits to the city, you know, corporate employment tax, real estate tax. The city's so dependent on real estate tax. 50% of the city's $87 billion budget is generated from real estate tax. So we're very, very dependent on companies and taxes, and the city needs this kind of tech hub activity.
Well, then on the other side, what do you say to the dissent from people like State Senator Michael Giannaris, who worry that a move like Amazon into that part of New York City could further raise rents and lead to further inequities among the population of New York?
you know, we have a housing crisis in New York that's that goes way above the issue of Amazon. Got to be building housing. That's a need that we have now. Our housing stock is 20 years old on average. We need, and we, you know, with any modest population, we need to be building housing. I think at, on a scale that nobody's talking about at the moment, but there are a lot of benefits from this Amazon deal. I'm, you know, Queensbridge houses had 1,500 people that were getting jobs over the next 10 years. That's the largest housing development in the Western Hemisphere. And, you know, those folks need jobs. NYCHA residents were getting $3 to $5 million worth of IT training. $650 million was going into infrastructure improvements in Long Island City. That would have funded half of the necessary development improvements that we need for the next couple of years in Long Island City. So, you know, lots of benefits were coming from this deal to New York City residents.
Only about 30 seconds left, Paul. If the deal is dead, what does it mean for commercial real estate going forward in New York?
Look, New York City is a magnet for national investment, international investment. It's been that way. It's a safe haven. I think New York City real estate is as strong as it's ever been. I think we'll be fine. But again, I would reiterate, I would not rest. I would try everything we can to make this thing happen.
Paul Massey, founder and CEO of B6 Real Estate Advisors. Good to get your insights this morning. Thanks for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures 4 points higher, Dow futures up 37, NASDAQ futures up 11 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak's brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. And futures this morning are moving higher. We go over to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call with Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. As you said, futures are edging higher today on light volume. The Dow's up 30, S&P higher by 3 with the NASDAQ up 10 points. U.S. 10-year yield at 2.65%. Shanghai fell 1.4% overnight, while European markets are trading higher, led by gains in France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing and Import Price Index, and at 10, University of Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, NVIDIA beat estimates. Shares are up 6% pre-market, and Oracle shares are indicated lower after Berkshire exited a $2.1 billion stake in the fourth quarter. Regarding earnings this morning, Pepsi warned earnings will decline this year and boosted a cost-cutting program, and Deere first quarter earnings missed estimates. In other news, activist fund Elliott Management disclosed new positions in Roan Resources and Acadia Health. And wrapping things up, Applied Materials downgraded to hold at DZ Bank after earnings, AIG upgraded to buy at Compass Point, and Adobe cut to market perform at Cowen. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
All right, Bailey, thank you. And here live breaking news of your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it looks like at least the government shutdown fight is over. President Trump plans to sign a bipartisan measure reached by the House and Senate last night. And then he plans to declare a national emergency to fund a border wall. The first two Democratic presidential debates for the 2020 election will have two heats with room for a total of 20 candidates who meet certain polling or grassroots funding thresholds. A senior Democratic National Committee official outlined the framework for the June and July events. In the NBA, hey now, the Knicks snapped an 18-game losing streak, beating the Hawks 106-91. The league now heads into the All-Star break. In the NHL, the Devils lost. The Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Mike Labard. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, Congress is sending President Trump a spending bill that will avoid another government shutdown. The president now plans to use broad powers above and beyond that spending plan to build his border wall. And the backroots, or the grassroots backlash that helped to sink Amazon's second headquarters in New York City. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is here with me now. So let's start with the border security fight, Kate. We're expecting to hear from President Trump from the White House Rose Garden in just a few hours. Will we hear that emergency declaration?
By all accounts, yes. I think this is something that obviously has been floating out there for several weeks now. And I think it's a plan B that essentially I think all sides wanted to avoid. But it looks like faced with the option, with the choice between another government shutdown and going the emergency declaration route, the White House and some congressional Republicans, namely Mitch McConnell, have decided that declaring a national emergency and weathering the legal and political fallout from that is the better alternative.
Yeah, it is interesting now to see Senate Majority Leader McConnell siding with the president on this issue, because he had been urging the president not to take this step up until now.
Yeah, because I think this could quickly turn into a very bitter and protracted legal fight. And there's already some polling that indicates that the public, or the majority of the public, views this as potentially as a presidential power grab. And so I think there is a concern out there that Republicans, generally Trump specifically, could end up politically very much on the wrong side of this issue. And McConnell, who's someone who's very, very attuned to, political polling trends, that sort of thing, and public opinion, I think it's not surprising that he was hesitant or urging Trump to not go this route. But I think, again, when it became apparent that Trump, that this was the place that it was going to take to get Trump to not essentially veto a spending bill, this became the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, and that's the type of power grab, as you term it, that the Democrats have warned for weeks that they would fight against in court. So, I mean, does this bog down the administration in a legal battle for the rest of the term?
It potentially could. I mean, there certainly doesn't seem to be much downside to Democrats to fighting this battle out, given what the polling indicates. And I think that, for this administration in particular, that already has so many legal issues specific to Trump and the Robert Mueller probe, to have kind of this signature campaign promise of the president's get bogged down now as a policy matter in the courts is really a headache in some ways that the administration probably could do without.
Yeah, and we can't ignore the warnings that even some Republicans have put out there, that the president could be setting a precedent that Democrats could take advantage of if they regain the White House and declaring national emergencies on issues that they care about.
Absolutely. And this is very reminiscent, really, of the debates back, 5 or 6 years ago when Democrats controlled the Senate and the White House. And Harry Reid moved to change the Senate rules to make it so that every nominee other than Supreme Court justices could get through with a simple majority, i.e. could no longer be filibustered by the minority. And what we saw, the effect of that very clearly when Republicans came into power and Trump won control of the White House, Republicans can now control the Senate. And Mitch McConnell cited that precedent in order to change the threshold for Supreme Court nominees down to 51 votes, eliminating the Democratic filibuster. And now we have two Trump nominees that eked their way onto the Supreme Court that probably wouldn't have made it there had that precedent not been established. So this is a very real recent example of kind of when these new precedents come into play, how they can have far-reaching consequences. And it's not surprising we're seeing some Republicans object here, because this really is an issue that goes to separation of powers and the power of the legislative branch to control the purse strings. And that's something that, cuts across partisan lines.
And again, the president delivers remarks on border security from the White House Rose Garden right around 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We will bring those remarks to you live here on Bloomberg Radio as they happen. In the last few seconds we have here, talk a little bit about Amazon's decision to pull out of New York City. What does this say about the rise of populism?
Well, I think certainly for people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the freshman Democrat from New York, and her supporters, you know, this is going to be cited as a victory. But I think the danger here is that it plays into the Republican narrative that Democrats are anti-business. And I think it will take a while to sort of suss out what the long-term implications are. This deal was very popular in a lot of New York. And so even though there was grassroots opposition to it, it could end up backfiring for the Democrats.
All right. Thanks, as always. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, very busy woman over these next few days here. You can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at SEIC.com/IMS. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Over the years, many of the Democratic presidential candidates have taken thoughtful and admirable positions on various issues. Now they're paying for it. Senator Cory Booker was for a long time an advocate of school choice, but in the Democratic presidential primaries, even his support for charter schools is a liability. Former Representative Beto O'Rourke joined all House Republicans and a quarter of House Democrats to make it easier for the Customs and Border Patrol to hire veterans and former police officers. Left-wingers are criticizing him for it now. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand helped usher her former colleague Al Franken out of office after several women accused him of groping them, and he refused to give a straightforward answer to the charges. Some top Democratic donors are angry at her, not him. The theme of the Democratic contest so far seems to be that no good deed goes unpunished. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker.
The new tax law has eliminated or limited some popular business deductions, including those for entertainment expenses and interest on loans and credit lines. Tax professionals predict this filing season is going to be more complicated and painful as business owners see how much money they can no longer deduct. The lost deductions also include subsidies for employees' transit and parking costs and what's known as net operating loss carrybacks, which allowed companies to get a refund on taxes paid in previous years when they suffer a loss on their operations. You could argue the lost deductions are an offset. That's because businesses got new tax breaks under the law, including lower tax rates and a 20% deduction in income for many sole proprietors, partners, and owners of S corporations. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We continue to watch shares of PepsiCo. They've turned higher, up about 0.25%. It did warn that earnings will decline this year as it invests more to boost its businesses. This a day after a disappointing outlook from chief rival Coca-Cola. And Deere & Company reported first quarter profit that trailed analyst estimates. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz will be with you. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.